You're listening to American Songcatcher, tracing the roots of American music from its cultured past to today's artists playing it forward. I'm folk musician Nicholas Edward Williams. Since the turn of the 20th century, the Appalachian Mountains have become known as a treasure trove of old English ballads. The rugged wilderness of the mountains preserved the English storytelling tradition through song after migrants from the British Isles brought their ballads to the New World beginning in the 1600s. Several factors influenced this massive migration, namely near-constant warfare in Europe and an endless power struggle between religious and government authorities of the British Isles. This placed great strain and pressure on the working class citizens of England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales, adding more difficulty to an already arduous life. These challenges spurred musicians to document their experiences in the art form of balladry.
Answer my questions 9. Sing 99 and 90. Oh, you're not God, you're one of mine. And you were the weaver's bonny. What is whiter than the milk? Sing 99 and 90. And what is softer than the silk? And you were the weaver's bonny.
Originally, ballads were composed for wealthy kings and noblemen by traveling minstrels, or balladeers, who made their living through song in the houses of nobility and royalty in the 1500s. English ballads often contained subject matter, ranging from folk tales and legends, stories from the battlefield, to tragic romance between star-crossed lovers.
Adieu, sweet, lovely Nancy, 10,000 times adieu. I'm going around the ocean, love, to seek for something new. Come change your ring with me, dear girl, come change your ring with me, that it might be a token of true love while I am on the sea.
As technology progressed throughout the 16th and 17th centuries, sheet music and musical instruments became more widely available throughout the British Isles and Europe. By and by, the ballads that were once restricted to royalty and noble courts filtered throughout the populace. The Middle Ages, ending nearly a century prior, had essentially created the first genres of music from this area of the world. There was sacred music, common in churches and temples, court music, used in the chambers of great magnates in the higher class, where ballads come from, and folk music, or secular music, which was played around inns, villages, and bonfires. During the late 1500s, no longer exclusive to the ears of the rich, everyday folks began playing and sharing the songs and melodies that were composed by royal minstrels and balladeers in years past. The oral tradition then prompted more relatable ballads to be created and shared in the homes of everyday citizens, around fireside hearths, in front of iron wood stoves after supper, and on the front porch.
There was a young lady from London, she came. She was a fair beauty, and Sally was her name. Her riches was more than a king could possess. Her beauty was more than her wealth at its best.
Ballads were heavily blurring the lines of court and folk music by the early 1600s. They were sung in groups, in the alehouse or the mead hall, sung at work by apprentices and masters, in the fields by milkmaids and farmers, in market squares during the day by a soul musician, also known as a balladmonger.
I'm a young married man and I'm near broken hearted. For my wife, she's left me and she's gone away.
These musicians added their own personal touch to the song each time that it changed hands. They would sell the songs on broadside ballads, sheets with lyrics printed of heavily inked letter type. Walking the streets of London throughout the 17th century, you could see these sheets held up by ballad mongers, loudly singing the words.
Who goes around crying pianos to men?
During the 1500s, Scottish and some Northern English residents had already migrated from their homelands due to economic, religious, political, and social turmoil, taking their ballads and folk tunes with them to Ulster in Northern Ireland. In the early 1600s, they faced similar persecution again, and pushed by the idea of owning land and having religious freedom, they relocated to North America. In these early days, emigrants were often transported in former slave ships, where they were crowded into dark holds, often 6 to 10 people in bunks that were 10 feet wide by 5 feet long and 3 feet high. They would undergo a 40-day, sometimes 2 or 3 month-long journey across the Atlantic Ocean, depending on the winds and the tides, with diseases like cholera, dysentery, yellow fever, smallpox, and typhus running rampant. Scattered throughout the multitudes of newcomers to North America were musicians whose repertoires included dance tunes, folk songs, parodies, comedies, spiritual music, and ballads that originated in England and Scotland. As lands in eastern Pennsylvania, Maryland, eastern Virginia, and the eastern Carolinas filled up, migrants went further and further westward into the Appalachian Mountains during the early 1700s. Several ballads that came to America in this way are still around and are considered today to be old-time, folk, and bluegrass standards. Songs such as Barbara Allen, The House Carpenter, and a tune that was created in America from this lineage, known today as Shady Grove. Before appearing in North America, the distinct melody of today's Shady Grove has been used in a number of English ballads. One of the first publishings of this melody was in 1651 in England by John Playford in his songbook English Dance Masters and the ballad None Such. The title is a reference to King Henry VIII, who owned an estate called Nonsuch that was used as a dance hall in the mid-1500s by King Henry and his daughter, Queen Elizabeth I. Over a century later in 1786, the same melody was published in an American tune book called Henry Beck's Flute Book in a song called The Boyne Water. The Boyne Water is a Scotch-Irish folk song that references the Battle of the Boyne, where the Protestant King William of Orange defeated the Catholic King James II on the battlefields of Ireland in 1690 during the Glorious Revolution of the British Isles. In addition to Nonsuch and the Boyne Water, the melody of today's Shady Grove can also be heard in English ballads such as Matty Groves and Fair Margaret and Sweet William.
It was late in the night, they were fast asleep. Little Margaret appeared all dressed in white, standing at their bed feet. Said, how do you like your snow white pillow? How do you like your sheet? Said, how do you like that pretty fair maid who lays in your arms asleep?
After its long journey to North America, the haunting melody was found in a plethora of other English ballads marinated in the hills of Appalachia over the following century. Throughout generations, mountain musicians played and shared the tune, adding their own variations and lyrics, just as the old world minstrels and balladeers had done centuries prior. Little Betty Ann, which you're hearing now, an old Appalachian tune with roots in western North Carolina, also closely mirrors the melody of Shady Grove, as do many others in what's known as the Upper South. However, the specific title of Shady Grove is most often associated with the Cumberland Plateau region of eastern Kentucky.
Shady Grove, a pretty little girl, Shady Grove, my daisy. Shady Grove, a pretty little girl, you're dying to run me crazy. First I see the Shady Grove standing in the door, shoot darkens in her hand and the basket on the floor. Shady Grove, my pretty little girl, Shady Grove, my daisy. Shady Grove, my pretty little girl, dying to run me crazy.
By and large, Shady Grove is thought to have entered the greater public consciousness sometime in the mid to late 1800s. As it traveled through the mountains, lyrics were added and melody amended by Appalachian musicians and their descendants over multiple generations, all with varying experiences of life. All these factors and influences from abroad and in North America came together around the time of the American Civil War, and a more standardized form of Shady Grove emerged as a timeless love song and a dance tune.
Once was dead, oh boy, all I want is night, night, big, big boy, all I want is white.
In many variations, the lyrics to Shady Grove have been sung from the perspective of a young man pining for the love of a young woman named Shady Grove. Noting the slipperiness of the oral tradition, it's possible that the name Shady might have been a corruption of the name Sadie. However, there is no documented evidence that proves this. By the late 1800s and early 1900s, the song had become a common tune in the repertoires of many mountain musicians. In 1905, an English professor at the University of Louisville in Kentucky, named E.C. Pero, journeyed throughout the southern states collecting folk songs, and published his findings in the Journal of American Folklore in 1915, under the article title, Songs and Rhymes from the South.
Every time ago that road looks so dark and hazy. Every time ago that road I think of my daisy. Shady Grove, Shady Grove, Shady Grove, my darling.
Shady Grove was included in Pero's collection as a love song, and this publication marked the first time that Shady Grove was formally documented. Pero collected the song in 1905 in two unspecific locations, one in East Tennessee and one in Kentucky, from unnamed, quote, mountain whites, who recalled the tune from memory. In the two versions collected by Pero, the lyrics of the verses are different, but the refrain in both songs are similar. Modern renditions of Shady Grove often include lyrics from both of these versions. In his footnotes, Perro mentions that the version collected in East Tennessee was set to the same tune as Old Joe Clark, which you're hearing right now, another popular mountain ballad from the mid-19th century that tells the story of a Kentucky mountaineer and moonshiner named Joe Clark, born in the mid-1800s. In that version, a specific eastern Kentucky town is mentioned in the refrain of the song, when the singer proclaims that they are, quote, going back to Harlan.
Shady Grove, pretty little miss, Shady Grove, my darling, Shady Grove, pretty little miss, I'm going back to Harlan. If I had no horse to ride, I'd be found crawling up and down a rocky road going to see my darling.
American Songcatcher is now in its third season as a completely independent program. While this podcast will remain free, we rely on your support as listeners to fund the creation of this show. If you've learned something new, gotten a welcomed escape from life, or felt entertained by what you hear on this podcast, please consider making a small donation or contribute monthly with our Patreon community. To support educational programming, please visit the links in the show notes. Also, some exciting news. American Songcatcher has partnered with the 501c3 nonprofit Music in Common and now accepts tax-exempt donations, sponsorships, and advertising. Email americansongcatcherpodcast@gmail.com to find out more. Now, back to the show. Many of the first recordings of Shady Grove were made by artists from Kentucky. 12 years after E.C. Perro first published Shady Grove in 1915, a group called the Kentucky Thoroughbreds were the first to commercially record the song in September of 1927 in Chicago, Illinois, which you're hearing now. 6 years later, in 1933, the groundbreaking old-time string band, the Prairie Ramblers, originally known as the Kentucky Ramblers, recorded their version, which was released by Bluebird Records under the title Shady Grove, My Darling.
Wish I had nickel, wish I had a dime, wish I had a finger ring, give that girl of mine.
Shady Grove, my little miss, Shady Grove, my darling, Shady Grove, my little miss, going back to Harlem.
As the industry of commercial records gained momentum during the 1920s and 30s, along with the increased availability of audio recording technology and the radio, Shady Grove was being transmitted for the first time to non-musicians outside the Cumberland Plateau region of eastern Kentucky. The Prairie Ramblers recording from 1933 slowly gained popularity in folk and early bluegrass circles in the Appalachian hollows of the Upper South during the 1940s. It would be 20 years until the next recording surfaced on a record called Folk Songs from the Southern Appalachians by Tom Paley in 1953, who would go on to co-found the new Lost City Ramblers just 5 years later.
Shady Grove, my true love, Shady Grove, my honey, Shady Grove, my true love, going to Shady Grove.
A few years later, Gene Ritchie, an Appalachian dulcimer player from Viper, Kentucky, who listeners might remember from episode 4 of season 2, and who became known as the mother of folk music, released her version of Shady Grove on her 1956 album, Saturday Nights and Sunday Too.
Cheeks as red as blooming rose, eyes of the deepest brown, you are the darling of my heart, fatal sun goes down. Shady Grove, my little love, Shady Grove, I know. Shady Grove, she's standing in the door. Shoes
interviews over the years, Jean has mentioned that she learned many of the mountain ballads in her repertoire from her mother. Shady Grove, however, came specifically from her father, who first heard it at 7 years old, played on the fiddle by a man from Virginia, and years later transposed the song to Appalachian dulcimer. After Jean's rendition, recordings of Shady Grove picked up considerably, starting in 1957 with actress and soprano singer Herta Marshall on her album To You With Love, American Folk Songs for Women.
Went to see my Shady Grove standing in the door, shoes and stockings in her hand, little bare feet on the floor.
At the onset of the 1960s folk revival, the tune was still being collected by ethnomusicologists, striving to preserve the musical heritage of the mountains, though commercially, it was well on its way to becoming a standard. In 1959, Alan Lomax collected Shady Grove from the Mountain Ramblers, an old-time string group from Galax, Virginia. Lomax included the song in his collection, Blue Ridge Mountain Music, as part of the Southern Folk Heritage Series.
Every time I go that road, it looks so dark and cloudy. Every time I see that girl, I always tell her howdy. Shady Grove, my little miss. Shady Grove, my darling. Shady Grove, my little miss. I'm going back to college.
Like many other traditional songs from the British Isles, the folk revival of the 1960s provided the perfect conditions for the preservation of Shady Grove. From 1958 until the beginning of the 1980s, the song was recorded every year, multiple times, by a variety of roots and folk artists, including the Kingston Trio, Pete Seeger, Obray Ramsey, Clarence Tom Ashley, Hobart Smith, Hetty West, Flat and Scruggs, Peggy and Mike Seeger, Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver, Hot Rise, and arguably the most popular recording in 1968 by legendary flat picker Doc Watson from Deep Gap, North Carolina. Doc said that Shady Grove was one of his favorite courting songs in the early years with his wife, Rosalie, during the 1940s.
For me, it definitely was a courting song, and I guess for lots of other folks that listened to it long before I did and probably some since.
I think that's a great story about how you met Rosalie. Tell me, you're going over to see Gaither to learn fiddle tunes.
Exactly. And she was a little girl, about 10 years old when I first met her, and I never thought about her as a sweetheart, but she could sing pretty then. And when they moved over to our area in the Wildcat, on the Wildcat Creek down there, as Willard called it, and he caused it to be named that, she was a few years older then, and I walked in the house, and there were she and a friend of hers, Pansy Watson, were unpacking dishes, and she turned around and said, "Hello, Doc." And somebody might as well hit me with a brick. I didn't have a lick sense. I had to have that girl, bless her heart.
How long have you been with Rosalie, Doc?
Going on 53 years. It was 52 years after this past June.
Let's do this one for Rosalie.
Cheeks as red as a blooming rose, and eyes are the prettiest brown. She's the darling of my heart, sweetest little girl in town. Wish I had a glass of wine and bread and meat for two. I'd set it out on a golden plate and I'd give it all to you.
Adding to the song's commercial popularity, it was also featured on television shows in the 1960s, such as Pete Seeger's Rainbow Quest, and on an episode of The Andy Griffith Show, performed by the family bluegrass band, the Dillards, who were known on the show as the Darlings.
Mountaintop, shady in the holler, everywhere my true love goes, I'll be bound to follow her. Shady Grove, my little love, Shady Grove, my dear, Shady Grove, my little love, going away from here.
Over the next several decades, Shady Grove began to weave through genres of folk, roots, country, and even rock, with their own interpretations of the song, such as Appalachian fiddler Henry Reed. Blues artist Taj Mahal.
Shady Grove, my darling.
And Mud Crutch, a Southern rock group consisting of Tom Petty and founding members of his backing band, the Heartbreakers.
Shady Grove, my love, Shady Grove, I say, Shady Grove, my love, I'll go away.
Another pivotal recording of Shady Grove came from Grateful Dead founder Jerry Garcia, mandolinist David Grisman, and bluegrass guitarist Tony Rice on their album, The Pizza Tapes, recorded in 1993.
If I can't get the girl I love, I won't have none at all. Shady Grove, my little love, Shady Grove, I know. Shady Grove, my little love, I'm bound for Shady Grove.
Today, Shady Grove continues to be a well-known standard in bluegrass, folk, and old-time string music. Several hundred years in the making, its legacy is being kept alive and well, primarily taught as a classic intermediate banjo tune. It was the backbone for numerous ballads and folk songs filtered through the people of the British Isles, and it's been estimated that Shady Grove has amassed over 300 stanzas since it was first sung in the Cumberland Plateau region of eastern Kentucky. Its captivating melody and lyrics have inspired countless musicians to make it their own. Having been so broadly recorded, the resonance of Shady Grove seems to have no end in sight.
Shady Grove, I know. Shady Grove, my little love, bound for Shady
Gosh. Oh, geez. Wow.
I didn't know where I was going.
Try to restrain yourself, Tony.
Oh, man, that was great. Woo. Smoking.
And it was. There were some good moments in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel we had some hot ones.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load six.
That'll do it for episode 2 of season 3. Huge thanks to Ryan Eastridge for the thorough research and volunteering your time on this piece. To support this program, join the Patreon community or send a one-time donation at the links in the show notes. Find American Songcatcher on Instagram at American Songcatcher. And if you're using Apple Podcasts, please make a rating and review. It helps us out a lot. Thank you so much to our Patreon community for keeping us going. Our intro song is Payday by Mississippi John Hurt from the Today album. Our outro song is 16 Tons, performed by Tennessee Ernie Ford, originally written by Merle Travis. This episode was produced, edited, recorded, and distributed by myself, Nicholas Edward Williams, with writing and research by Ryan Eastridge. In the words of Scottish poet William Drummond, thrice happy we, who by some shady grove, far from the clamorous world, doth live our own. Here's to the songs of old. May they live on forever. See you next time on American Songcatcher.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.